The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another Dark Side of the Pooch. I'm Tony Curry. He's Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. This is a show about pet care. If you've never heard the show, I promise you it's not boring, man. We get after it. We have some great email questions. info@tonycurryradio.net. Mutt mail. info@tonycurryradio.net. Always brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 6. Toys from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And, of course, comics from the 60s on up. And they're fantastic. 452-0307. Check them out. They're wonderful. Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Proud to bring you Dark Side of the Pooch. Dr. Rab Stewart, how you doing? What's going on at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital? Everything good?
Everything's good. That, you know, the Sasquatch is what it's what I dream of. Like those stores are like, that's what my dreams are, is being in, just being in those stores.
If someone brought you a Sasquatch, I mean, you do pets, right? I would consider something with that much amount of fur would probably be welcome at your, I mean, if someone brought in a banged up Sasquatch, you'd care for it, correct?
I would take care of a banged up Sasquatch. So many ways you could go with that. I don't win. Halloween is, well, at the recording of the show, Halloween is tomorrow.
You know what? It is. And I bet you see some Chewbaccas out there, but you don't ever see people dressed up as a Sasquatch, do you? You would think you would.
I would go as a Sasquatch. Maybe we should save up a lot of hair from dogs for next year and I can glue it together.
There you go. Speaking of Halloween, this year we're going to set a record in the United States on the amount of money we spend on dog and cat costumes. You want to put a number on it?
$3 million.
$700 million, the United States. $700 million the United States will spend on not Halloween stuff, just pet costumes. Just
I'm
pet
always costumes. So way off. You wonder why when you do these things. You wonder
$100 million. I mean,
you wonder why I'm always so off. Because It's like you'll ask, like next week you'll ask me another question. You'll be like, do you know how much we're spending on this? And it'll be like $100,000. And I'll say $1 billion.
$1 billion.
This question this week.
So very, very plain and simple. Can you tell people, because they may be listening to this show live on Halloween, what are some of the safety protocols we need to do with, first of all, our pets wearing costumes, what they should and should not eat, and how important it is to make sure that if you're taking your pets trick or treating, that we be careful about foot traffic and other things. Give us some safety protocol for Halloween.
Okay, here's a protocol. If you want to help me pay for my kids' college, I have three of them. If you want to help me pay for my kids' college, then I want you to feed your dog all of the candy that you get for Halloween.
Shame on you.
If you don't want to pay a vet bill, then don't give your dog any candy at all. Not even candy that doesn't have chocolate in it. Just don't give it anything.
Planner's peanut bar? No. Can they keep?
No, but it's just going to give them diarrhea, and then you're going to
have Laffy Taffy.
No, it's not funny.
Fruit roll-ups? No?
Fruit roll-ups. You can do it before they're processed into the roll-up. You can give them some, just give them some strawberries. Forget the roll-up.
Yeah, my dog.
Just go straight to the fruit.
My dog loves some candy
corn. No grapes.
Yeah.
No grapes.
No grapes?
Or raisins. No, yeah, definitely no raisinettes. That's got chocolate and raisins. If you want to do the double whammy dog death Halloween, then collect all your raisinettes and just feed them to your dog.
Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. All right.
Don't do that.
And also, before we get into our mutt mail, I wanted to mention this is a beautiful story. A outfit called the Crisis Response Canines. You ever heard of them? Mm. They are wonderful. Nope. They are a wonderful little group, a non-for-profit who sends dogs all over the country for therapy. And they've just sent 25 animals to Lewiston, Maine for comfort and support on the shootings we had just a few days ago. So kudos to the Crisis Response Canines. I always like to throw that out there. It's a wonderful thing.
I'm going to look that up. That's awesome. I've not heard of that group. I'm gonna write that down.
You think about things like that. And of course, that community needs all of our love and our thoughts and our prayers. And there's no doubt they're getting a lot of that. But when you think about, you know, sending 25 pooches up there just for love and support, I can imagine just anything can help, right?
Just for a little, you know, even if it's just for a little while, you know, even if it's just to give them just a small break from, you know, the trauma and the sadness that they're going through. That's terrible. And thank you to that group that's doing that, because it helps, even if it's just for a short time.
Yeah. Phone number is 208-0301, 208-0301. That's the phone number to the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, rossbridgevet.com. And of course, you can also find them on Twitter as well as Facebook. Our first question here, our Mutt Mail, comes from my daughter, Lila. I meant to ask you the question last week. She wants to know, why does my dog's she said butthole, but why is my dog's anus get so swollen when she's in heat? It's a great question, because I'm sure everything gets swelled up down there, but why specifically did the anal gland seem to get so swelled up?
Well, it's probably swelling by proxy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the vulva gets very big. Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on the size of the dog, the vulva gets as big as like one of those like mini powdered donuts. You know, it swells a lot. So all the other stuff that's around it, it's going to get shifted too. So if you got to be sure that you're looking at the right thing, you're looking at the anus and not the vulva. But if the vulva is big, everything else is going to protrude a little bit.
There you go. Trisha in Nashville, Tennessee says she has a Chihuahua that barks incessantly. She loves the dog. She's been trying to get it to stop barking, and she's heard us talk about bark collars. She said, but she's also heard that you can't put a bark collar on a dog that small. Is that true?
Well, I personally have never put one on a dog that small, but I don't know about the different sizes. If you can find one that fits a dog that size, then I wouldn't have any problems with it. I don't think there's any, you know, there's no requirement as far as the size of dog, as long as there is a collar that is made for that size dog.
But there's no amount of shock or ping or whatever you want to call it that could harm a dog that size.
No, especially if they tailor the collar. I mean, if you get a collar that is made for a 60-pound dog, you're never going to be able to get it tight enough. Yeah. You know, like, it's not going to work at all.
Depending on how much it barks, because I may end up using one of those on my Havanese, which is about 6 or 7 pounds too. Zoe in Trenton says, is it okay for my cats to go vegan?
Is it okay? Yeah. I mean, as long as you're feeding a diet that has all the vitamins and minerals and, you know, proteins and stuff in it that it needs, that they can have a vegan diet. It can be a totally soy based diet. Yeah, sure.
Well, what if you wanted to go, these vegans, if you wanted to go, I can only imagine this woman. I'm sorry, Zoe, with a name like Zoe, you already have a cat and now you want to go vegan with your cat. Okay. This is not a woman I'm going to be dating anytime soon. If you do want to go vegan, and I don't know what she's feeding this thing, carrots or celery or whatever, what vitamins are
Halloween candy?
Yeah. Halloween candy. What's the name of the ingredient that must be in dog food? What's that called?
Oh, this is super important cats too. It's called taurine.
Taurine. So
taurine.
Cats need taurine too.
Yeah. So the thing that you have to be very careful of is just feeding your pet a diet that you just make yourself. You know, people want their pets to eat certain things, so they're just going to, you know, make it and they're going to give it to their pet. If you don't want your pet to have protein from an animal source, then it's still really important to get a cat food, a commercial cat food that doesn't have any animal protein in it.
Yeah.
Don't just, you know, feed your cat soy based sushi or whatever, because it's not going to have taurine in it. It's not going to have the other vitamins and minerals that they need.
What is your thoughts on, and I'm seeing just a ton of commercials for all these dog foods now that must be refrigerated. I think one's called Farm Fresh or Farmer's Dog or something like that. And that's fine. They say that it makes the dog healthier and happier and it loses weight. And I'm like, whatever. I know that the hard stuff works just as good as anything from a refrigerator. And I hope as a vet, you confide in me and say that's true. But are we teaching people that stuff that goes on our kitchen table is just as safe as some of the stuff that comes out of the refrigerator, like Farmer's Dog? Because it sounds like we're just feeding dogs the same stuff we're eating.
Well, I'm not really exactly sure what these refrigerated foods maybe have in them or don't have in them. And probably the best way I can answer this question is every single dog I have ever had has eaten a dry commercial dog food, and they have all been made by the same company, which is a very reputable company that makes general dog foods, but also prescription dog foods. Mm-hmm. I have an almost 13-year-old mixed breed dog that acts like he is six. He's as healthy as he can be. So, you know, I don't have any experience with these other foods because I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go there because I know that the food that I'm feeding, since it is they make prescription, foods, I know that there's science behind what they do.
Yeah.
And I know that I don't have to worry about what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would just say, be cautious, just be cautious with the food that you feed.
There you go.
If you feed a new food and your dog or cat develops GI problems, if you've switched food recently in the last week to 2 weeks, it's probably the food.
There you go. Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics, open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 6 right there. 145 Citation Court in a beautiful Homewood. Jim in Green Bay said, would you please ask Dr. Rab to finally explain how pet insurance works? He wants to know, when can I buy it? Is it like this car stuff where, like, if my dog's already 14, there's no way I can get insurance for that dog? How do I get reimbursed? Can you explain the pet insurance fiasco?
You can get insurance during any time of the pet's life.
Okay.
They have plans that are for wellness visits or sick visits or emergency visits or all of the above. There is a deductible that you have to hit, just like in human medicine. When you have pet insurance and you go to the veterinarian, you pay just like you would if you didn't have insurance.
So if you have a $4,000 bill, you're going to be paying out of pocket $4,000 till you're reimbursed.
Well, you're going to have to hit a deductible. And then once you hit the deductible, you're still going to pay that bill, but the insurance company will reimburse you after the fact.
Okay.
So we get the claim forms, we fill them out, you know, here's the diagnosis, or here are the symptoms, here's the treatment, here's the cost. And then we send those back to the insurance company, and then they will write a check to the policy holder, not the policy holder, because that'd be the pet, the owner of the policy holder.
And has your experience with these insurance companies been good? Because I would assume you don't like to do paperwork.
Oh, it's been good.
Okay.
It's been good because, you know, we get a lot of, it's okay to do the x-ray, it's okay to do the blood work because I have pet insurance.
Yeah.
So go ahead. And it really becomes a situation of, you do what you need to do. We don't have to, you know, worry about finances.
Okay. All right. There you have it. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it at least 5 days a week on the TKR app. Just put TKR in Android or Apple, and you can listen to the shows live right here on TKR, wherever you get your favorite podcast, or here on the brand new Tony Curry YouTube channel. Hank in Birmingham wants to know, what dog breeds have the highest chances of health problems? He said he's looking to buy himself a brand new breed of dog and wants to know what dog breeds have the highest chances of health problems, a lot of health problems with a particular breed.
Well, it kind of depends on if you're looking for catastrophic things, or if you're looking to avoid catastrophic things, or you're looking to avoid small, nagging, lifelong, chronic things.
Okay.
So just in speaking in generalities, large giant breed dogs, they're much more prone to cancers of the bones, and abdominal cancer and chest cancer. So in general, large and giant breed dogs are not going to live as long as smaller dogs.
Yeah.
They may only live 8 to 10 years, and they're probably going to get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to, once you diagnose that cancer, they're probably going to get
cancer.
You know, 1 in 4 dogs get cancer in their life.
Wow, that's amazing.
25%. So it's just much more likely that the large dogs are going to get it. And when they get it, they generally go pretty fast,
yeah,
you know, within a few months. So that's why I say, you know, it's not a lifelong chronic illness. It's something that's going to claim them pretty quick, you know, when they're 8 to 10 years old.
You always talk about pugs and dogs. What do they call them? What do they call it?
Oh, brachycephalic breeds. Yeah.
Talk about some of the issues they have.
They have a lot of respiratory issues, and they also have a lot of skin issues. The facial folds that they have, they can get infections there. the respiratory problems they have. They're born with small nasal passages. They're born with their larynx is misformed, but it just has some extra parts to it that can cause them to have some trouble oxygenating. So small breed dogs, they're going to get these kind of chronic issues, whether it just be a GI issue or whether it be kidney disease. They're going to live a lot longer and they're going to have some chronic problems. They're going to last longer. Some of the nicest breeds that we have, the most friendly, if off the top of my head, two most friendly breeds that we see, Golden Retrievers and Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. And they are both plagued with just chronic problems. Golden Retrievers are going to get skin and ear problems that you're going to have to deal with their whole life. Really? They do have a little bit higher incidence of abdominal cancer too, because they are on the large side. They don't get the bone cancer like Great Danes and Mastiffs do usually. But Cavalier King Charles, I've never met a mean one, but they usually will get heart disease because they have a mitral valve problem that will pop up when they're probably 7 or 8 years old almost every time. Oh. And they can live with it for years, but you're going to be paying for medication. Wow. So I'll go back to what I just said a minute ago, to Hank. You know, I've got the healthiest dog I've ever had was a mixed breed mutt that we found on the streets of Houston. Mm-hmm. And he's 12 years old and he's never really had a problem. He still runs around like he's half his age.
That's probably why you need to get that dog insurance. Beth and Hoover wants to know, do dogs have our circadian clock like humans? It is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Good question. We've never gotten that question. It's amazing. Even on weekends, my dogs get up at the same time. Now, is it because I'm usually getting up at the same time, or is it because they actually know what time it is?
I think that they will fall into our schedule. Mm-hmm. So I think that for example, if you start to get up and work out in the morning, if your normal routine is to wake up at 7 and then you decide that you're going to start waking up at 5:15 in the morning to work out, your internal clock is going to start waking you up closer to 5:15. And those dogs are the same way. They're going to get accustomed to you waking up at 5:15 instead of 7. And they're going to start waking up at 5:15, wanting to be fed, wanting to go outside. It is kind of like clockwork, because if you start walking your dog every day, you know, at 8 a.m. or if you come home for lunch and like they're ready for you to let them outside or give them food, because their body is accustomed to that. Their bodies can adapt just like ours. Yeah. You know, if you get to where you stop, you know, eating lunch, or maybe you used to eat lunch at 12, you start eating lunch at 2 or 2:30, your body's eventually going to adapt to that.
Yeah. They are animals of habit for sure. Louie in Southside wants to know, if fish did not exist, what other two bands would Dr. Rab listen to? That's a good question.
First of all,
that would be a sad day, would it not? If fish didn't exist.
And you know, that day is going to come one day, and that is going to be a really sad day. You know, I'm trying to think who I listen to a lot now. And I listen to, there's a band called Scary Goldings. Okay. And they're very kind of, they're a little bit jazzy and a little bit jammy.
Yeah.
And the reason I found them is because there's a bassist called Mono Neon, and he is this outlandish bassist. And so I found this band through him. So I've been listening to them a lot. So Scary Goldings. And, you know, I just have to fall back on the old faithful of Steely Dan.
You know,
we've talked about Steely Dan a bunch, and it's just no matter how many, and I mean, they're going to be gone way before Fish, but no matter how many times I listen to those albums, they're just still so fresh. I don't know what it is about those songs.
They sound so good, don't they?
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff. All right. Great question. Carrie in Atlanta says, my cat, Mr. Sour Whiskers, meows until I give him fresh water anytime during the day. I already change his water at least 4 times a day. Is this normal? She said that the cat will only drink fresh water it's got to come right out of the faucet. And she's got to put it on the floor, else he will not drink it.
It's got to be some kind of temperature. You know, it's got to be some kind of temperature. I'd be interested. She should try this. Try giving it different temperatures of water and see if it has any effect on it at all. Like if you put down water that's somewhat lukewarm, see if the cat will drink it at all.
That's a good point.
Yeah, or if it screams at you, or put down cold water and see if it screams at you.
That's
just see what happens.
Mr. Sour Whiskers. All right, there you go. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. You're listening to Dark Side of the Pooch. We do the show every Monday through Friday, and this is what you get, man. We do all kinds of great email questions brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics right there in Hoover. They open up, had their grand opening back on October 6th, 7th, and 8th, and they're fantastic. They're knocking the doors off. They have, of course, toys from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, comics from the 60s on up. It is right there at 145 Citation Court, 452-0307. Mary in Hoover said, we just lost one of our two Dotsons a few days ago. We still have one remaining surviving one that has been howling at the cage pretty much every night when it's time to go to bed. She said it's heart-wrenching, but she said, will it ever work out? Will this dog ever stop howling? Obviously, the dog misses its mate. How do you deal with that?
Most of the time, I mean, it'll take time. They'll grieve and mourn, but eventually they'll... you know, I don't know if accepted is the right word, but they'll kind of get back to a normal routine and kind of stop doing that. But sometimes they, I mean, I've had people in the past that have asked for medication for, you know, a couple of weeks just to kind of maybe help them at night to sleep. I don't know if that's something that Mary's dog needs or even something that she would want to do. But eventually they'll get back to where, you know, they kind of understand their new routine. But I've done medication at times for people who say their dog's having a really hard time coping with the loss of another housemate.
We use that analogy, old dogs. You know, whenever when a married couple has been married like 60 something, we've seen these stories where the man and the woman will be holding hands and the wife will die and the husband will die like 3 minutes later. Is that true for dogs? Do dogs feel that pain?
I can't remember a situation where we've had, you know, one pet die and then another from the same household die for just no known reason.
A broken heart.
You know, I can't really think of an example of that. But how far apart did Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash die? Do you remember? Wasn't it really?
I don't know. It's pretty close.
It was pretty close. I mean, I can't remember exactly, but I feel like maybe a few months.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing stuff. There's always, I love those stories. I mean, I love those stories when they're like in their 90s. Obviously, you don't want to see someone in their 50s kicking the bucket and all of a sudden they're passing away. Frank in St. Louis wants to know, what's the best lap dog?
I think it's a Cavalier, even though we just talked about them having heart problems. They're just the sweetest. I mean, they'll just sit in your lap and just watch TV with you for forever. So Cavalier, King Charles Cavalier.
Dark Side of the Pooch from Rossbridge Animal Hospital, rossbridgevet.com. You can check them out on their website, 208-0301, 208-0301. And of course, you can also find them on Facebook at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter. It is finally getting cold here. You mentioned the fact that we're recording here in the 30th. It's finally going to start feeling like fall and wintertime. Any clues or any hints or any advice you want to give us as it gets a little chillier out there for our little furry friends?
You know, just be sure you don't leave them outside. You know, down here, we don't really have a whole lot of problems with them getting too cold. Most pets can survive outside when the temperatures are in the 30s. Not saying that you want to do that because they're going to get cold, especially if they don't have long hair. You know, if I would say that if your outside temperature is in the 30s, you definitely don't want to keep your pets outside just from a comfort standpoint, especially if they don't have a lot of hair.
Okay. Anything fun and exciting happening there at the shop that you want to share with us before we let you fly?
You know, I just happen to have these on my desk here. We didn't talk about this. I got these new poop bag dispensers.
Oh, look at that. Nice.
Yeah, see that?
That is beautiful.
There's this new neighborhood going up, not too far from us. So we're going to introduce ourselves with these.
You stick the poop in there?
Poop bags. I'm going to do it poop free.
Okay.
I'm going to do it poop free. The owners can put the poop in here if they want.
No, what do you do with that thing? What is it? What the hell is that?
All right. So see that there's poop bags in there.
Oh, they're poop bags. I got you. But you don't put the poop in the bone.
No, you don't put the poop in here.
I got you, but there's a little bit.
Man, what do you do when your dog's poop on the walk, Tony Curry? Hey, listen, hey.
Well, I didn't see the hole in the back. I didn't know what you're supposed to. I thought that would held the poop. I didn't know if it was like a scoop or something.
No. See, here you go.
Okay, I was going to say, you take the top off and you could scoop the poop up and then put it in the bone, and that way it doesn't stink. You don't have to put it in the bag.
No, this is a poop bag dispenser. So you, the bags just come out of that hole.
Gotcha. And by the way, I want to apologize to everyone at Spain Park, because they have, there's like a $500 fine if your dog craps at Spain Park. And my dogs will crap as far away from any bag dispensary anywhere in that park. I swear it could be like, if it's like 1,000 yards away, that's where they want to poop. And then of course I'm not near a bag. So I'm like, by the time I get to the bag, they've already gone.
So here we got anyone who's never seen our building before. We got that attached to it.
There you go. That's beautiful.
Very nice.
Good for you.
So welcome to the area, to our new client.
Save one of those for Tony. I love those.
Yeah, you need one.
Yeah, I do. Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Wednesday through Sunday, they're open 10 to 6. Toys from 70s, 80s, and 90s comics, 60s on up, right there at 145 Citation Court, 452-0307. Seth and his group. And of course, he's down there at Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for nearly 50 years down there in beautiful Homewood. Dr. Ebb, I love you, and thank you for ending my day on a high note. I appreciate you.
Love you, buddy. Talk to you next time. Happy Halloween.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.